How you doing, Super Scoreboard fans? This is Stephen Mill from the Big Scottish Football Podcast. If you like what you hear from this week's episode, you can subscribe to our very own channel by searching for the Big Scottish Football Podcast via your regular podcast provider. Or you can give us a follow on Twitter as well, at Big Football Scott. You can get us on Facebook and Instagram. And thank you again for taking the time to listen to our latest episode.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome along to episode 29 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast with me, Stephen Mill, and him, Ewan Cameron.
Hello, Stephen Mill, how are we?
I'm very well, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Hello there, intern Callum.
Hello, Ewan Cameron.
And now the end is near, and now we face the final curtain. The end is nigh, because intern Callum is saying goodbye.
I didn't think he'd say that, but he did. No. He found a rhyming word.
Yeah, he did. Well done, that was good, because I could see you struggling there.
I was searching for the words.
You really were. You were staring off into space, and I could see he doesn't know what's coming out of his mouth next.
I don't, but yeah, intern Callum...
He's leaving.
Leaving the podcast.
Leaving us. He's had enough.
He's had enough. Not that I'm that bothered about it. I mean, anyone can do his job.
Exactly. Find another dog's body.
Yes, easy.
Do all the rubbish work.
Somebody else that can make the tea.
Exactly.
Upload the show. I mean, who can he?
Bleep out all our swears.
Yeah, and I mean, we can all upload a show. I mean, I can upload to Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that, so I'm sure I can upload to Spotify and Apple and things like that.
Yeah, totally.
So you'll be easily replaced.
Exactly. We'll just get, I don't know, a chimp in or something like that. Someone of the equivalent level. Something like that. Anyway, it's going to be a great last show for you, Callum. Today's episode, we will review the Scottish Cup results, because that went well for your team at the weekend, and we'll look ahead to tonight's match between Darvel and Falkirk. It's been another stinker of a weekend for VAR across Europe, so we'll dive into VAR WTF, and we'll get your shouts on for if Scottish football were a farm. And remember, you can find us on all your usual podcast providers and on Twitter at Big Football Scott. That's where you can follow us, and we're on Instagram and Facebook as well. Just search for the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Right, let's get stuck into today's episode of the Big Scottish Football Podcast.
Can I just pick up on where we left off last week for the podcast?
Mm-hmm.
The contest. I'm mentioning the contest.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah.
The contest. Remember the contest?
I remember the contest.
The TV show Seinfeld?
Yeah.
And George was caught doing it?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've lasted a week. How are you boys doing? Because we did say last week this was going to be a competition to see who would last the longest.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done a week. Mm-hmm. The contest is on, boys. How are we doing?
I'm out.
And my wife lives in LA. So let's move on to the football. Find out what happened at the weekend. Let's start with the results. We'll get to the managerial stuff in just a wee bit, and we'll get to VAR in just a wee bit as well. So just in terms of football, let's do it in chronological order, shall we? We'll start on Friday night. It was Hearts against Hamilton on the plastic pitch under the floodlights, trademark Ewan Cameron, and it was not the best performance from Hearts, but they're through the next round.
Shut up.
It wasn't, though. You say that's the best performance Hearts have ever put in?
We were in second gear. We didn't have to be at our very best.
I know that, but even Robbie Nielsen said second half.
We're all right. I mean, we controlled the first half. We created a load of chances. I think we kind of took our foot off the pedal. I thought it was really easy. It was comfortable. Hamilton didn't really, in any way, shape or form, have a decent attack, a decent shot on goal. The goalkeeper didn't make any saves. Yeah, I thought it was really comfortable. It was like a training game. So yeah, it was comfortable. We're into the quarterfinals. Looking forward to that.
And
if we can avoid Celtic or Rangers, what a chance we've got to get to the semis and possibly the final.
Because the cup is wide open this year.
Totally.
Absolutely wide open. Let's move on to the games on Saturday. Ayr United 4, Elgin City. Elgin must be spewing. They must be kicking themselves.
I watched the highlights of that game on Sports Scene, and I feel desperately sorry for Elgin. They created so many chances. They should have been out of sight before that 93rd minute equaliser. And that kind of took the stuffing out of them. But what killed them off, and we'll get to it shortly, in VAR WTF, the penalty that was awarded to Ayr United is a disgrace of a decision, and that killed them off. But we'll get to that shortly. But I thought Elgin were outstanding and should be in the quarterfinals of the Scottish Cup.
Ended up 4-1 to Ayr in the end after extra time. Kilmarnock also through to the quarterfinals of the Cup.
Worst game ever.
Beating Dundee United by a 2-0.
It was a shocker of a game. I watched the highlights of that on Sports Scene, and it was on for like 2 minutes. There was nothing to watch. There was nothing to sing home about. Is it sing home about?
Right home about.
Right home
but you
about.
Can, you can sing home if you want.
No, I'll just right home about. It was an awful game. I think Dundee United had one shot on target in the game.
I've not even seen any of it because I can't be bothered.
But you're a Dundee United fan, you tube.
Yeah, but we're really bad just now.
But it's the Scottish Cup fifth round at home at Tannadice. Why are you not interested?
We're not going to get to laugh at you any longer on this podcast for Dundee United's horrendous form this season. But how much longer has Liam Fox got? You see all the other players at the bottom of the Premiership sacking their managers.
Yeah,
I mean apart from Ross County, Kilmarnock, but you know, Motherwell are sacking more managers than
just the one team.
Yeah, exactly.
If he doesn't win this weekend,
Who are you playing this weekend? Who are you playing?
I don't know.
What kind of Dundee United fan are you?
It's just as well we're getting some sort of chimping from next week to...
We need to get shot at you.
Ah, exactly. You're on a sticky wicket as well. I mean, your performance levels... You're not caring. You're not caring now, are you?
Okay,
look at you. He's not caring.
Typing away there, beavering away.
I'll edit all this out.
He's updating his LinkedIn. That's what he's doing. He's not even caring. I can see
former
what's on your screen.
Chimp.
Put it this way, Dundee United were awful at the weekend and Kilmarnock deserved their win. They were the better side. They were creating the better chances. Solid, compact, hard to beat. And then they took their chance really well at the corner kick. I don't know what the goalkeeper's doing. He's flapping about. Mm-hmm. And who was the boy that scored? I can't remember the boy's name that scored, but he got...
I thought you watched the game, though.
I did watch the game more than you did as a Dundee United fan.
Vassal.
It was Vassal that scored.
Yeah, I nearly said Vaseline. Vassal scored the goal. He got ahead of the goalkeeper. Who's the goalkeeper at Dundee United?
Mark Birigiti.
Yeah. Outjumped the goalkeeper, who was flapping about and headed the ball into the empty net. So it was a good win for Kilmarnock.
We play St Johnstone on Saturday. I think if we lose that, Liam Fox.
And whereabouts?
Tannadice.
Oh, you'll win that.
Okay,
I think you'll win that.
See what happens on Saturday. Livingston versus Inverness.
Oh, the shock of the day.
I don't think anyone was predicting Inverness were going to win on Saturday.
Shock.
Not one person
of the day. See David Martindale after the game. He was an angry boy. He was very, very angry, whereas Billy Dawes was smiling from ear to ear. What a performance. And see that second goal from Billy Mackay.
I thought both these goals were absolutely tremendous finishes.
Both goals are great, but that second one, even he said, I think that might be the best goal I've scored in my career.
Yeah.
That was an outstanding finish into the top corner, gave the goalkeeper no chance. But do you know what was really disappointing? For a Scottish Cup fifth round game with a chance to get into the quarterfinals, there was one man in his dug in that stadium. And when the camera panned round the stand, there were three empty stands with like 20 Inverness fans in the corner. It's embarrassing. Get that sorted out. Hand out free tickets to the kids.
For a start, let's not slag off the people who did actually turn up.
No, I'm not slagging them off.
It's not their fault.
No, but I'm talking about Livingston. There's just nobody turns up to their games. They need to now just start handing free tickets out. Just fill that stadium.
Do you not think they've probably tried that?
And then they'll go and buy pies and they'll buy drinks and they can make some money from that as well. But that was just embarrassing to see those empty stands at Livingston. I think it's shocking. I just don't like the look of it. They need to do something there. I don't know what it is, but I think it's maybe go into schools, encourage kids to come and watch the football.
Do you not think they've probably been doing that for years?
Well, keep doing it. Keep doing it then. Get the stands filled.
Right.
Just do it.
Right.
It's going to cost you nothing because nobody's sitting in those seats anyway.
But they will be trying this.
No, but it costs...
Don't you think it's quite difficult, Livingston? They are in a place where, you know, Livingston's a new town anyway, so people moving to Livingston probably supported other teams before, or certainly their dads and their mums and all the rest they would have. You've got Hibs and Hearts to the east of you. You've got Celtic and Rangers to the west of you. It's quite a difficult position that they're in. And they're doing really well on the pitch. What more can they do?
What did I just say? I just said, give the tickets out for free.
I'm willing to put my mortgage on the fact that they've done that before. In fact, they did it earlier on the season, did they not?
Keep doing it. That's my point. Just keep doing it. Fill those seats. See on Scottish Cup Day, there you go, to the local kids in the school. Come to the game. Give us your support. Back us. Get us through to the quarterfinals. And they didn't do that. Fill the seats. Give them to the kids. Give it to the local community.
September last year, this season, they gave away 2,000 free tickets to school children.
Keep doing it.
But they are doing it.
But no, we keep doing it. Every week, keep doing it. That's like every second week, do it.
Yeah.
Why have you got your head in your hands? Why is it?
Because you said they need to do something. Why don't they give tickets to school children? And that's exactly what they've been doing.
Once. No, once.
How do you know it's once?
Well, you just told me the day. It was September last year.
Yeah, because it's the first article I saw.
Right. So, but they're not doing it every week.
How do you know?
Well, how do you know they're not?
How do you know they are?
But they're not.
Anyway. They wouldn't have enjoyed it on Saturday had they turned up anyway, because they got pumped 3-0.
No, but had they turned up, it might have swung it in their favour because of the atmosphere.
Wait, Avonville Primary 3's there. Like, I don't think so, Ewan.
But there's nothing more annoying than a screaming 8-year-old. Yeah. Right? If you've got 2,000 screaming 8-year-olds in a stadium, that could work in your favour and go against Inverness. So that could have made it. You're laughing.
You're making a ludicrous point.
You've dug yourself a hole.
Exactly.
I'm not digging myself any hole here. What I'm saying is, fill the seats.
Just to clarify, though, if there'd been 2,000 school children there on Saturday, Livingston might have not got beat 3-0.
They would have won.
Sharp.
If there was more fans in their back end, Livingston, and turned
not,
it,
I'm not even giving you the platform anyway,
and turned
to
it into a cauldron of noise, right? They would have spooked Inverness back up the road and sent them home to think again, and Inverness would have been out, and Livingston would have gone through.
I'm just telling
you.
They screwed up. Even by your standards, this is insane. Wraith Rovers 3, Motherwell 1. Again, I think everyone before the game thought that's where the shot was going to be, and it absolutely proved so. I mean, Wraith Rovers are on decent form, a long unbeaten run in the Championship, and Motherwell are obviously absolutely honking and haven't won since October. So it wasn't much of a shock that Wraith Rovers won. Was it a shock that Stevie Hamill got the bullet after the game, though?
Nah. It's kind of been on the cards, isn't it? I thought Wraith Rovers were really good. Again, I just watched the highlights, but they were so, so good. They were well up for it. And there were 4,500 fans in the stadium, mostly 8-year-olds from the local primary school.
I actually met...
See the difference it made?
I met a couple of Motherwell fans on the train on Saturday when I was getting the train to work, and I was like, so he's confident about the day? And they went, absolutely not. I'm good to get beat. And I was like, sometimes... You thought that in the last round against Arbroath and stuff like that as well. And he was like, no, we're definitely going to get beat today. And they did. So.
Ishmael Consalvas' third goal was a cracker. I mean, the keeper shouldn't get beat at his near post like that. The first goal that Motherwell conceded, again, it was a goalkeeper mistake. He had a poor, poor afternoon. Neither wonder he was nearly in tears in the interview after the game, because you'll probably think he was at fault.
And for Stevie Hamill...
Lovely guy. I know, like him so much.
This is the problem when you appoint a sort of club legend as your manager and it doesn't work out. Do you think he maybe could have got a wee bit more time, or are they just panicking now?
The team looked really scared and quite frightened against
Stuart
Kettlewell
as an interim charge. Wouldn't surprise me if he takes over full time. Obviously got experience at Ross County.
I saw Jim Goodwin's in the run for the gig.
Linked with Tam Courts today as well.
And Tam Courts,
Tam Courts, is he not out of a job now?
He is, yeah.
Did he not go to Cyprus?
He went to Hungary, but close. You know, we'll get there. Close enough.
Cyprus is how far away from Hungary?
Probably as far away as we are from Hungary, I would say.
That far?
Cyprus is...
I know where Cyprus is. It's a 5-hour flight.
Yeah.
And so where's Hungary?
A 2.5-hour flight, I'd say.
I've never been to Hungary.
I've never been to Hungary.
Are you just guessing that?
I'm guessing that.
So you're saying... What you're saying then is that Hungary is actually halfway to Cyprus.
It's equidistant, I would say.
As the crow flies, what was your guesses?
Quite far, I would say. Right, well, if you think about it, so the length of Britain is about... Like the
700 miles.
It's something like it, maybe,
for people who can't see, Stephen's using his hands to show you how big Britain is.
No, like so the Isle of Britain is probably, I think it's a wee bit more than that. It's not about 800. Anyways, but 800 miles, I would say. So if you turn Britain on its side and then go like that, you probably are getting to sort of like, I don't know, like Switzerland, south of France, sort of south.
No, we're not getting that far.
You don't think?
I don't think we're getting that far. If you turn...
Hey, Britain's bigger than you think.
Well, I know it's 800 miles or something.
Like, you know, like so for example, one of the stations in our group, MFR, which broadcasts to the Highlands that we're on.
Yeah.
That is, they broadcast the size of Belgium. So just one radio station broadcasts to the size of Belgium.
Yeah, but Belgium's not that big.
I know, but that's what I'm saying is, if you turn it on its side...
And point it downwards.
And then point it downwards. I think it's probably bigger than you think. I think you're getting towards the southeast of France. And then, therefore, you're getting to Switzerland, and then you've got, like, Czech Republic. Yeah, but
where's Hungary in relation to Cyprus?
No, because you've got... Well, I've been to Bratislava, right? Which is in...
Which isn't in Hungary.
I've been to Prague.
Which also isn't in Hungary.
I know, but they're all quite... So Vienna and that, and Budapest, they're all quite close to Bratislava, because we went to Bratislava and we got the bus to Vienna for the day and we played snooker.
On a bus?
Yeah.
From Bratislava to go to Vienna to play snooker?
No, we didn't go to play snooker, but...
that's what you said.
Yeah, I know that's what I said, but that's what we did. That wasn't the intention.
You ended up going to Vienna.
We went to
famous for the gondolas, the canals, and you played snooker.
Sorry.
This is getting so weird.
No. What's Vienna famous for?
What's Vienna famous for?
Gondolas.
Uh-huh, well...
That's Venice, you
and canals.
That's Venice, not Vienna. Vienna's the capital of Austria. Can I get a bus to Venice for Bratislava?
But you could have got a water bus.
No, I couldn't have.
Oh, you're right. Vienna is Austria.
Yeah.
What's the canals?
Venice.
There you go. They both start with V.
Aye, they do. I mean, I can see roughly where you're getting mixed up there, but...
Okay, can we just get to the actual... point here.
No, I was saying that I was on the bus to
play snooker
to Vienna, not to play snooker, but to go to Vienna because it was only like 50 minutes on the bus.
Oh, that's quite close.
And Vienna has some interesting bylaws that during the day you can't drink at ground level, right? So all pubs and bars, you can't get a drink, right? And the only place we could get a drink was a snooker hall, and we had to go upstairs to a snooker hall.
So if you're but that's above ground level.
Aye, I know, but I said at ground level you can't get a drink. That's above ground level, so that's fine.
You can go upstairs.
You can go upstairs or downstairs, but you can't get a drink at ground level.
So in the middle, no, but anything in between.
If there's one thing I didn't think I'd be talking about, it would be Vienna alcohol bylaws. So
you can go into a basement or you can go into the roof, but you can't drink.
You can't drink at ground level.
Okay, so can we get back?
But only during the day.
During the day, but
at night you're fine.
Right. So what was the question?
So what's
the distance between from Glasgow to Hungary?
Nope.
And then Hungary.
No, I've just asked the distance between Hungary.
I don't know. You need to give us. I would say.
You talking miles?
1,200 miles.
Ian?
I would go maybe 2,000.
Mental. 1,127. Well done.
Right. Okay. So.
Right. So what's
the difference? What's the distance from Glasgow to
Hungary?
Budapest, say, for example.
Yeah, hold on.
You just.
1,144.
Right. So I was right. It's equidistant.
It's actually pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was. You were 17 miles out.
I was 17 miles out.
That's a round of applause.
Thank you very much.
I mean, we got there eventually. Yeah. I mean, we went right round Europe and we were on a gondola in a canal, but we got there in the end.
So, next Motherwell manager, who are we going for then?
Jim Goodwin's on the shortlist. I saw that. Tam Courts, I didn't know, was on the shortlist. There's somebody else. Kettlewell was on the shortlist.
Kettlewell, yeah.
I did see somebody else's face. Can't remember who it was, but I think they might go away. They might go away with Tam Courts, by the way.
Yeah.
Tam Courts had a decent show with the job he did at Dundee United. Did he not finish fourth in his first season?
He did.
And then he thought he was better than Dundee United, went to Hungary.
I don't think that's quite what happened, but.
Well, I think that's the case, is it not?
I think Tam Courts probably left while his
stock was high.
Yeah, I think that was probably it.
That was a good move.
Yeah, it was.
Didn't work out, though.
Didn't work out in Hungary, which, as we know, is equidistant between here and Cyprus. So, yeah, finished 3-1 to Raith Rovers on Saturday. Also on Saturday, Celtic 5-1 winners against St Mirren. Sorry, slow first half. Second half, Celtic just overpowered them. And obviously the sending off helped as well.
See, for 75 minutes, there was nothing in the game. I watched the highlights.
How many times
have I said that?
Yeah, exactly.
I did watch all the highlights of that game.
Did you watch
that? And in that 75 minutes when Celtic were only one up, I thought St Mirren were well in the game. Celtic, although they powered on and won 5-1, I think that they were not great, but they did what they needed to do. They scored some good goals.
Could you not say Celtic were in second gear?
I think the penalty...
It's not all about just getting through to the next round of the draw.
I think the penalty was the turning point in that sending off. I'm not saying it wasn't a penalty, but I think the sending off had a huge bearing on that game.
We'll get to that.
And we'll get to that shortly. But having said that, though, Celtic still deserved it, but it was a tight game.
Okay, and yesterday we had Rangers 3, Partick Thistle 2.
What a game.
Really good game. Did you watch the highlights?
I watched the highlights last night.
You watched the highlights last night?
Extended highlights, because I don't have Viaplay.
Yeah. Rangers didn't play well, again.
They didn't play well.
Michael Beale was not a happy man afterwards.
He wasn't. But again, how many games is that unbeaten? That's a few now.
14, 13, 14, something like that.
He's on a great run of form, but the team aren't playing particularly great. He didn't start with Kent and Roof, and they both came on at half time, so he wasn't happy being 1-0 down. And again, we'll get to that penalty decision shortly for Partick Thistle. But let's talk about the sportsmanship from Michael Beale. That was unbelievable. Well done to that boy. He's a boy of integrity. He did the right thing. Why are you shaking your head?
You're right, but isn't it just the bare minimum you should do in that scenario?
Okay, then let me put this question to you. Then there's 14 minutes to go in an Old Firm game, and you're 1-0 up. Is he doing that?
There would be a riot if he did.
But you're saying it's a bare minimum.
No, I know.
Right?
No.
Do you think he does that against Celtic?
I have no idea.
I'm asking you. If you have an opinion, you share your opinion with us.
This is your final chance to have an opinion.
Proper opinion. Ever. Do you think Michael Beale allows Kyogo?
Kyogo,
honestly. To walk through the McGregor.
Who? McGregor. Anyone but Kyogo, because you can't say his name.
Because he's a striker.
Yeah.
Right. Are they going to?
I thought he was.
He's number 10.
Well reversed there. Well reversed.
Right? Are they going to allow him to walk through the Rangers defence at Ibrox to score a goal to equalise with 10 minutes to go? Does Michael Beale allow that to happen?
Yes, based on yesterday. Yes.
I think he does as well, because he's a boy of integrity. He's a boy of... You have to do the right thing at that moment, and he did. Now, I know there's some Rangers fans who are upset with him for doing it.
There's lots of Rangers fans upset. The replies to your tweet were pretty much split down the middle.
Split down the middle. But that... See, when I was reading those messages, I was thinking, imagine that was Celtic. And they ended up finishing 1-1 or something.
What about if that was to... If it was a... Just say...
A league decider. Do you do it?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I would
give your opinion.
If I were, I'd be livid if I was
Dunfermline versus Falkirk, last day of the season.
Not a chance.
There's your level on points, and if they get the point, they go up. 77 minutes on the clock.
No,
your manager goes, let them walk into the goal.
No, absolutely not. Not a chance.
But then your league title would be tainted.
No, it wouldn't.
You'd be known as cheats for the rest of your life.
No.
You would.
Okay, you're in Scottish Cup final. Hearts are playing Hibs. Same thing happens. 77 minutes. Hearts go 1-0 up. Do you let Hibs run through to score?
Yes. I would. Because I just think we are better than that. We're no cheats. And we're not going to cheat our way to a victory.
So did Tillman cheat then?
Tillman, I wouldn't say... That's a really good question. I don't think Tillman cheated. Well,
you said it was cheating, so he must have cheated.
You said
it was cancelling out cheating, so that means Tillman cheated.
No, hold on a wee second. I'm not saying that Tillman cheated. What I think happened in that moment, which a lot of Rangers fans are arguing, right, is that the ball is given back to Partick Thistle. the boy who takes control of the ball doesn't control it. He takes like three or four touches and it bounces away and Tillman nips in, takes it round him and then goes and scores a goal. I wouldn't call that cheating. I just don't think he realised what was going on.
But you did just call it cheating.
No. I think that's why there's a debate here. That's why some Rangers fans are going, no, hold on a wee second. He was fouled. He was stamped on, etc. Right? So I can understand both arguments in regards to the incident involving Tillman. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I have to say on the matter.
Right.
He wasn't cheating.
So if that exact same scenario happened,
then I don't want Hibs to go up the ball in the back of the net.
Okay, so you've just completely changed.
Wait, what?
So if that exact same thing happens.
Uh-huh.
The exact same thing happens in a Scottish Cup final. Hearts versus Hibs.
Yes. If the exact same thing happens and it's Lauren Shanklin running on through and he scores, I celebrate the goal and I don't want Robbie Nielsen pulling it back.
Right.
In the exact same situation, I get why Rangers fans were upset.
So you think Michael Beale got it wrong then?
No.
Why do you tie yourself in knots?
I don't, because you're asking me about what I would feel for my team.
Yep.
So Rangers are not my team. So what Michael Beale did yesterday needs to be applauded. And if I was FIFA, I'd be giving him an award for sporting integrity, because that was a brilliant gesture what he did. Very similar to what Paolo Di Canio did. Everton were in relegation places in the Premiership, and the goalkeeper, I think, broke his leg. And Di Canio had an open goal he scored into for Everton, and he caught the ball.
It's for West Ham.
Against Everton, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And he caught the ball. He caught the ball.
Right, okay.
So
totally get that. But now we're talking about different things. I want to talk about the incident yesterday. First of all, let me just have a wee timeline of what you said there. You said it was amazing what Michael Beale did.
He did.
And if something similar happened, if it was Hearts versus Hibs, you would let Hibs walk it into the goal, even if it's a Scottish Cup final and it was a big game or whatever.
But if it's similar to Tillman...
Because it was the right thing to do.
Yeah. But if it's
Because you didn't want to win a title through cheating, is what you said.
Mm-hmm.
So that implied that Marek Tillman had cheated. And then you said,
no, he hadn't cheated
yesterday.
No.
And actually, it was just a wee bit of misunderstanding. So Michael Beale was wrong to let Partick Thistle do that.
So you're trying to twist it to make me sound daft.
That's what you said.
You're asking me from my perspective, watching it as a neutral, what Michael Beale did was superb, and I applaud the man for doing it. As much as Alan McGregor clearly hated it, because he didn't want him boy to score, but he had to do it because the manager instructed him to do it. What I'm saying is, well done, Michael Beale. However, if it was Hearts that were in that situation, in a similar situation as Tillman, I would be going, don't be giving Hibs a go, because the Hibs player messed up when he receives a ball. That's why it's different, because it's with my heart.
My heart would be ruling my head.
No.
Absolutely.
You'd be the same. Shut up, you. I am telling you right now, this morning, you're thinking, Michael Beale, well done, right? Well done, Michael Beale.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. It's amazing. What he did was amazing.
But if I'm a Rangers fan, I'm like, what are you doing? If you've just outlined the scenario of Marek Tillman taking advantage of the fact that Kevin Holt can control the ball properly.
Yeah.
And you said, aye, that's fine. Like, it's fair game. But fair play for Michael Beale doing that. But why? Because if you believe that Marek Tillman hasn't done anything wrong, why should he let Partick Thistle score?
Because I think that he did the right thing because of what led to the ball being thrown to Holt. And he was about to clear it up the line.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because Holt has messed up the control of the ball and he's touched it two or three times and it's bounced to Tillman.
That's almost irrelevant, because he was just trying to control the ball and then play it back.
Listen, I think there's a bit of a misunderstanding and Tillman scores a goal and Michael Beale does the right thing. And that's all there's to it. And I think Michael Beale deserves a medal for that. I think he deserves a round of applause for that.
If that was Dunfermline, if Michael Beale was in charge of Dunfermline and that had happened, I'd be like, what are you doing?
Sack him.
No, I wouldn't say sack him, but I was like, come on.
Off your head.
Yeah, if it's a big important game. Now, I get yesterday, Rangers versus Partick Thistle. Rangers probably would have gone on and won anyway.
That's what I was asking.
And they did yesterday.
And they were always going to win that game. But if it was Celtic or a Hearts or a Hibs and they needed the points, would they have done it?
I'm not so sure.
We'll never know.
But we'll never know.
We'll never know.
We'll never know. Anyway, that was good. You managed to...
No, I didn't. Like, you were trying to make
like
me...
Like a contortionist there. I think, no, listen, everyone can...
It's a really horrible image in my head.
Exactly. Everyone can listen to that and make their own minds up. And I know if you've got a brain inside your head, what you'll make up. Elsewhere, we have Darvo versus Falkirk tonight. Let's round off the cup action first. Falkirk dropping points last week. Just a wee reminder, Ewan Cameron. What did you say the scenario was going to be this time last week? Did you say that Falkirk were going to beat Alloa and then Dunfermline lose on Saturday and the gap would be down to 2 points? But, you know, that's really confusing because I've looked at the table just there and the table doesn't seem to say that. So I don't know what went wrong. We'll get to that in just a wee second. But Darvo versus Falkirk tonight.
Falkirk win.
Mm-hmm. Confident?
Yeah.
You think Darvo, no chance, played really well against Aberdeen, put a Premiership side playing a League One side tonight?
I think it'll be close. But I think you always see this happen when a wee team, a minnow, knocks out a big club. The next round they normally get pumped.
I wouldn't call Falkirk a minnow. I mean, they beat Allo in the last round.
I was talking about Darvo, mate.
All right, okay, sorry. You should be clear about that, yeah.
So I think Falkirk wins tonight. It'll be close, and it could even go to extra time, but I think Falkirk will ultimately win.
Okay, dokie. Right, that's fine. We'll, again, revisit that, and congratulations to Darvo for making it through to the next round, after Ewan's prediction, of course. Elsewhere on Saturday, a big win in the Championship for Morton, and this is how crazy the Championship is. Morton have been on a honking runny form. Yeah, they win on Saturday, and that's them back in the playoffs. So,
it's unbelievable, isn't it?
So, Queen's Park were leading. Morton obviously coming back and winning by 3-2, so welcome relief for Dougie Imrie. Queen's Park still 4 points clear at the top of the table from Ayr United, but Ayr have a game in hand. And then Dundee winning yesterday against Cove Rangers 3-0. That means that the gap is a lot closer at the top.
I think it's what, a point or two? Yes. And they've got a game in hand as well.
Dundee have another game in hand.
Yeah, so again, I think Queen's Park will fall off a cliff. I think they'll be all right in the playoffs, but I think Dundee will win the league. I say it every single week and I'm sticking by it. That prediction will be true. Dundee are winning the league title and promotion to the Premiership. You heard it here first.
Okay, League 2, Albion Rovers 0, East Fife 1, Dumbarton 2, Annan 1, Forfar 1, Steny 1. So both teams extending their unbeaten runs under their new managers. And Stranraer 0, Bonnyrigg Rovers 1, Dumbarton top of the table and extending their lead against Stirling and Albion, who weren't playing at the weekend because Elgin were playing in the Cup. And finally, in League 1 at the weekend, there was a quite dramatic game, wasn't there, Ewan Cameron?
There was a
very dramatic game. And we were on air on Saturday, on the big Saturday football show,
so. Yes, we were.
So if you listen to it, you may have heard this happening. I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
Shut up. Play the sound effect. Can I reveal what's happened? Big Saturday football show with me, Ewan Cameron, Stephen Mill, Steve Cowan, producer Finn's here as well. Just bring you up to date with what's happening in League One. Big game at the top of the table. Dunfermline playing Airdrie on the plastic pitch in Airdrie. Dunfermline did score, but the goal was chopped off for offside. We are hearing the goal was actually onside, so the referee got that wrong. And Airdrie have just taken a lead against the table toppers, Dunfermline. So as it stands, they're only 4 ahead of Falkirk in the league table after Falkirk's 1-1 draw with Alloa earlier in
the
week.
Are you pleased?
Oh, I'm delighted, mate.
So that was Ewan at the start, and then obviously Airdrie took a 3-goal lead in the second half.
I was singing Tony Christie's Amarillo.
You were. That was very, very...
Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, Falkirk. Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, Falkirk. I even got the producer of the show to actually cut me a little clip of that song, and I was playing it on the show as well. It was such a beautiful moment.
It was really, really annoying. But then what happened was fantastic. You want to talk us through what happened after, Ewan Cameron?
I don't recall what happened. I remember when it was 3-0 to Airdrie.
Well, I'll remind you. Dunfermline, champions elect of League One, came storming back and won by 4-3, coming back from 3 goals down. And Ewan Cameron, that's the sign of champions, is it not?
You're still to play Falkirk twice.
7 points clear at the top of the league.
You're still,
having played the same games.
You're still to play Falkirk twice.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a long way to go. I wouldn't be counting my chickens just yet.
Can I ask a question? A couple of weeks ago, when Dunfermline were in front and Falkirk were, what, 5, maybe 7 points behind, you said you'd rather be Falkirk. What about now? Which team would you rather be now?
Where would you rather be? Would you rather be the team 7 points clear at the top of the league, unbeaten since October, or would you rather be Falkirk, who are 7 points behind?
I would rather be Lewis Hamilton just now.
Right, yeah. As I thought so. So, just unbelievable. But well done, well done. An amazing second half comeback.
Look at what happened at the weekend.
What?
Livingston got beat from Inverness and nobody expected that. I wouldn't be celebrating just yet because football's a funny old game. That's why we love it. Falkirk could still turn that around.
Okay, they won't though, because Dunfermline have pretty much won the league. There you go.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Right, we've already spoken about Stevie Hamill getting sacked. Let's talk about Ian McCall losing his job at Partick Thistle. Yes.
It wasn't for the defeat against Rangers. It was for the previous results when they lost to Cove and Hamilton, two teams at the bottom of the table, back to back at home. That's what's cost him his job.
Why didn't they sack him then? A week ago.
It might be because they didn't know who they were going to get to replace him, but they might already know who that is, which is why they were very quick to react after the game yesterday.
Chris Dillon is in temporary charge. He's in charge of the academy at Partick Thistle, so he's in temporary charge and obviously a bit of Thistle legend as well.
But the entire team are gone. I mean, Archibald, McCall, they're all gone.
Neil Scally,
they're all gone. They got shot them all. Normally what happens is that one goes and the other just kind of hangs about until somebody new comes in.
Now, I watched Ian McCall's interview after the game yesterday, and they were asking him about back to league business next week and trying to get back on track, and he gave a pretty full answer.
And he had no idea that was coming. But their recent form in the league has been poor. As I said the other week there, you don't know what you're going to get from Partick Thistle. They're one of those teams you do not put in your coupon, because one week they can be sensational, the following week they can be absolutely awful. And I thought they were actually decent against Rangers.
Do you think that it's overall the right decision?
Time will tell, won't it, Stephen?
Well, I mean, well, the posh. Shit answer that is. if you can ask me anything, and I'll just go, well, time will tell. Because, yeah, we will know in time.
We'll tell.
But I'm asking you to predict, Ewan Cameron.
I think the way that Partick Thistle have played this season, it probably is the right decision, because they're still in with a wee chance of getting into the playoffs. And they probably thought that Ian McCall might not get them there. Maybe they need a new set of ideas, fresh ideas, someone new to come in, and maybe for the push for the last few games of the season.
I did see quite a lot of Partick Thistle fans saying that, you know, they love Ian McCall and, you know, got a lot of respect for him, obviously second time in charge as well.
Yeah.
But a lot of Partick Thistle fans saying he's maybe reached the ceiling. That's the ceiling with Ian McCall. They need someone else to push them on a wee bit.
I have some stats from a Thistle fan that I know. And so in 2021 to 22, they played 38 games, won 21, 55% win percent.
It's not bad.
It's decent. And since 2022, January till now, they played 55 games, won 21, lost 23, and a 38% win percentage. Mm. That kind of says it all.
Yeah, there's a drop off there, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. So we'll see what happens with Partick Thistle, but we have lots and lots to get through of this.
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
Okay, let's start yesterday at the Rangers game. First of all, the Partick Thistle penalty that put Partick Thistle in front. Ewan Cameron, it was a handball. Antonio Colak, penalty or not?
No, never a penalty in a million years. And neither was a Tillman penalty. It was never a penalty in a million years. That challenge was outside the box. And VAR looked at it and they still gave the penalty.
Is it not the case that there has been a change in the rules so that if the foul continues into the box?
There wasn't a foul that continued into the box, though. I didn't see a foul continuing the box. The foul occurred outside the box and he fell in the box. So I don't think that was a penalty. I don't think the Cholai one was a penalty. He's like a yard away. He's a yard away and he heads it into his hand. Now, see if it was going actually, if it was actually going on target, then it's a penalty. Does that make sense?
Well, in your head, yes, I suppose so. Yeah, right. I mean, so
let me explain this to you, right? Because you clearly don't understand the laws of the game And I don't want to be Googling IFAB again to educate you, but let me educate you once again, right? If that header was heading towards the goal and it hits Colak's hand, it's a penalty and possibly a red card. And we'll get to what happened at St Mirren Celtic in just a second. But because the header was a cross goal and it hits his arm, I don't think it is a penalty. There's a slight variation there to the rule. So because you're stopping the ball going towards goal and possibly stopping a goal,
what if the ball
that's a penalty.
What if the ball was getting headed back to somebody who had a tap in?
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's irrelevant. If the shot is on target or the header is on target and it strikes your hand, it's going to be a penalty and possibly a red card, depending on where your arms are positioned. But when it's in a situation like what happened with Colak at that corner, where the header gets put back across goal and it strikes his arm, that's not a penalty for me.
I don't think it's a penalty either.
Right, so we're right. Tillman and Colak's not a penalty, so we can move on.
I don't think anybody knows the handball rule.
I just told you.
Including that. No, well, why did they give a penalty?
I know, I've read the IFAB rules.
But why did they give a penalty then?
Just call me Mr. IFAB.
But why did they give a penalty?
I know better than the referees in Scotland. Okay. They're useless.
Okay, fair enough. Right, no penalty, no penalty.
Call me Mr. IFAB.
St Mirren red card and penalty. What are you thinking?
It is a penalty.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. But the red card is an atrocious decision. The boy's sliding to block the shot. His arms are going to have to be somewhere. And it strikes his arm. Yes, the ball's heading towards goal, but that's not intentional. See if it was like a Luis Suarez for Uruguay against Ghana at the World Cup where he makes a spectacular save. I get why that's a red card, 100%. But referees have got to use common sense there. Yes, it's a penalty, but it's never a red card. The boy didn't intend to save that way's hand.
There was another example of something similar on Saturday. Callum Smith got sent off for Airdrie against Dunfermline.
That's right.
Turning point in the match. I don't know if you've seen it, but it was a kind of...
Yeah, seen it.
You know, hit his hand.
What did you think?
Thought a red card was very harsh.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, I agree with you.
Thought it was harsh. I mean...
It changed the game.
Also, just before it, the... Airdrie keeper, who was already on a yellow card, slid out to collect the ball and handled it outside the box, so he should have been sent off for that. So I think the referee was probably thought, oh, I've made a mistake there, I'm going to have to...
Sorry this way.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you. I think it was a penalty, but I thought it was really harsh. What is just so annoying is you see something like that, and I know it's a different league, but then you see West Ham versus Chelsea on Saturday... And they're one of the most ludicrous decisions I've ever seen in my life.
He saves it. Suchek.
Suchek saves the ball.
It's the corner.
He tips it round the post.
Conor Gallagher takes a shot with his left foot, and Suchek is sliding and blocking. But he puts his left hand out and actually saves it.
Mr. IFAB, like what is happening? Like what is happening? Why can't they just decide on the handball rule and say that's it? There seems to be mass confusion across many leagues, many games,
yes,
many countries.
What I found really quite baffling about the game at West Ham against Chelsea was that the referee's position, I can see that why he didn't and give it, because I don't think he sees it, because the position of Suchek.
That's what VAR's for.
That's my point. So I get why the referee didn't give it. But to not allow the referee to go and have a look at it, because VAR must then look at it and go, right, was that a clear and obvious error from the referee? Yes, is the answer. 100 million%. The referee hasn't seen it, so that's a clear and obvious error. I think you should go and have a look at that. To not even allow the referee to go and have a look at that was scandalous. So that was a penalty, 100%. I think there's some inconsistencies and it's human error, and it's not just happening in Scotland, it's happening all over Europe.
Was it Arsenal-Brentford? Goal was onside and
there was actually
you're getting emotional talking about it there.
Huge Arsenal game.
The Arsenal-Brentford game, right? So Arsenal won the league. They're going for the league title for the first time in I don't know how many years. Huge game for them at the Emirates Stadium. And the Brentford equaliser, I think there was two offsides. And what happened, it took 3 minutes to determine whether Pinnock was offside, that they forgot to draw the lines for the most important part of the goal, was the actual header across goal to Ivan Toney to put in the back of the net. The boy was clearly offside. It was a shocking decision.
Are we reaching the stage where, like, should we just bin VAR and go back to how it was before?
No, because again, I'll just point you in the right direction. I don't know the stats in front of me, but I did read it on Saturday night. that VAR have got more right than wrong, and in fact, VAR has contributed to more goals being scored than ever before.
Okay.
So it works, but you're still getting the human error and you're still getting some mistakes, but let's be honest about it, they're few and far between. When you look at the amount of football matches that are played across the country and across Europe, it's only one or two decisions that really make a headline across Europe, so I think generally speaking, it's decent. Would you get rid of VAR?
Nah, it's quite a good laugh, to be honest with you. I'd probably keep it just for the laughs.
But do you think it's helped the game?
No, not
you think
at all.
You think it's hindered the game?
Yeah, I think it's made everything just because we spend ages talking about it, and you know,
but it gives you something to talk about. But I think most of the time,
there's lots of stuff to talk about.
Wouldn't it be fair to say that most of the time they get it right?
Well, yeah, as a percentage.
That's good then.
We've just spoken about three or four examples this weekend where they got it wrong.
Yeah, okay, but that's going to happen because it's humans that are in control of that. It's not a robot. Mm-hmm. Humans make mistakes. How many mistakes have you made during this podcast?
Zero.
No, you've made a few. Intern Callum, for 29 podcasts, he's made mistakes every week.
Hundreds, yeah.
Hundreds. That's why we got shot of him. That's why he's leaving.
He keeps putting the wrong episode number out when he tweets it every single week. I don't know. It's like you're in some sort of time delay or something. I mean, Ewan, how many mistakes have you made?
I don't make mistakes.
On this podcast?
I offer an opinion and sometimes my opinion is wrong. I sometimes make a prediction and sometimes I'm wrong,
so
right?
But they don't count as mistakes?
They're not mistakes because I don't intentionally go out of my way to make a mistake.
You're literally making a mistake describing that you don't make mistakes.
Mistakes by having an opinion
on
something.
You're in some sort of mistake
no
inception here.
No. I don't make mistakes. You ask me my opinion, I give you it. That's not a mistake.
But you get it wrong sometimes.
No, I don't get it wrong.
Your opinion's always right.
So if you give a prediction that it's wrong, it's not wrong. Like, for example, you said Falkirk would beat Alloa last week. They didn't beat Alloa, so therefore that was wrong, just by its very definition.
Yeah, but that's...
Just to give you a definition here, dictionary.com, an act or judgment that is misguided or wrong. But you don't make mistakes.
You don't make mistakes.
Well, when it comes to predictions, you can't be right all the time. So you make...
But you no,
mistakes.
I accept that. But you just said I don't make mistakes, but we've just given you several examples where you have.
Okay, but I don't get my way.
Air United.
I'm not daft or stupid.
On Saturday.
Okay,
well,
I didn't know that you were in Vienna when I thought you were in Venice.
Yeah.
That's not a mistake. But you got it wrong.
You just got it wrong.
No, I just misheard you.
That's fine.
That's not a mistake. Because I misheard doesn't mean it was a mistake. There's a difference between mishearing and intentionally making a mistake. So sometimes I mishear.
But mistakes don't have to be intentional.
Yeah, but I didn't make a mistake there. I misheard what he said. I thought he said Vienna.
He did say Vienna.
I did say Vienna.
Okay, I made a mistake there.
Right. Did John Beaton make a mistake at Somerset Park on Saturday?
Oh, John Beaton! Plank! What are you doing, man? How is that a penalty? How is that a penalty? So Elgin were outstanding for 90 minutes.
You watched the highlights.
I watched the highlights. They battered Air United. Literally barred them off the park. Air United got a corner in the last minute of the game. It's the worst corner you'll ever see. It's the scrappiest goal you'll ever see. And it equalises. It's an equaliser for Air United against Elgin. What a heartbreak for them. And then you think, right, regroup. Go again for extra time. And then John Beaton finds a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it's a penalty. I don't know what he sees. I was watching the game, right?
Now, obviously, this is one of the games that didn't have VAR as well.
No, it didn't have VAR.
Do you think if it did have VAR, he wouldn't have given the penalty?
It's overturned. That'll be overturned. If VAR is in place, and that game is overturned, and it would still be 1-1. That penalty decision that John Beaton made killed Elgin off. They were already a bit flat after conceding that late equaliser, but as soon as that penalty was awarded, that was then done and dusted. Beaton made a huge error there. I still can't see where the penalty was. Still can't. Marvin Bartley, who was on Sports Scene, was like going, I don't know where the penalty is.
Watching the highlights, yeah.
Simon Donnelly was on the sofa as well. I don't know where the penalty is.
Doing the highlights.
We were both gobsmacked.
Neil McCann and Mick Kennedy were on Sports Scene last night as well.
And they were saying?
can't believe that that's
a penalty.
That's a penalty.
Amy Irons was on. She couldn't believe it was a penalty.
On the highlights.
Yeah. On the highlights, because I watched the highlights.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, John Bean got that wrong. He made a mistake. Huge mistake, in my opinion. And maybe my opinion is wrong, but it's not. Next one.
That's us.
Is that VARWTF?
It is, and you know, as we mentioned, intern Callum is leaving, but he's not leaving us completely, because he's actually left me a present, okay?
A gift.
A gift. And I've got some of them in front of me here. Could you just briefly describe what you've left me?
Of course. I thought the best thing I could give you when I'm not here anymore is a soundboard of short clips of you and Cameron saying stupid things.
Okay. Like this.
Pump you like you've never been pumped before.
Like that, for example. Or maybe something like,
I live in Falkirk.
Or, you know,
that's going to bring him down.
There's loads of them.
There will be a pumping tomorrow. Pump you like you've never been pumped before tomorrow. Pump you like you've never been pumped before
tomorrow. Valentine's Day tomorrow.
Pump you like you've never been pumping tomorrow.
Uh-huh. That's one of my favourite ones.
Yeah. And the real radio football phoning with Alan Ruff.
Uh-huh, this is the real football phoning with Ewan Cameron and Alan Ruff. Call now on 0845 100 2101.
There will be a pumping tomorrow.
So, I've got lots of them.
Who do you think you're with your Primark jumper on? I'm going out for a walk with his Rottweiler. Mad Dog's 50 kilos. I've said all that shite on the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I thought Euro Disney was pish.
It's so good. Oh, it's amazing.
See, when you look at that squad on paper, just stop it. Just remarkable.
There's loads of them, honestly. I've got so many of them. Oh, it's
very good. Very good.
Oh, it's so bad. Awful.
What?
Mad Dog's 50 kilos. There will be a pumping tomorrow.
So listen, I've got loads of these, and they'll continue to be played throughout the season here on the Big Scottish Football Podcast.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Right, we posted on our Twitter page at Big Football Scott which footballers, managers, referees, pundits would feature if Scottish football were a farm for the second week in a row. We've had a record amount of shouts in for this, and thank you for taking the time to do so, even if some of your suggestions were absolutely honking. Here are some of the best and worst. Remember, Ewan Cameron, you need to pick a winner. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Ricky Lambie. From Chris M. Scott Old MacDonald.
Had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he had a cow, E-I-E-I-O. With a
moo moo
there, and a
moo moo
there, everywhere a
moo,
everywhere a
moo.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O.
Liam Chicken Cooper.
Liam Chicken Cooper.
Mark Thompson.
Liam Cooper.
Liam Cooper. Plays with Scotland, the centre half.
Leeds.
Yeah. Duncan Shearer, that's from Andy the Photo Doctor.
Duncan Shearer? Yeah. Oh, you shear your sheep.
Ah, you do. Ryan Cow, Zach Mudden, that's from Michael.
Zach Mudden.
Yeah, Zach Rudden.
Mudden. Not Rudden, what's Mudden got to do with a farm?
Mud. You'd have mud on a farm.
Oh, pigs like to roll in them.
Yeah. Hatchery Butcher?
Nah.
Rangersy Cow?
Like a Jersey cow.
Oh, God. Morris Malpasture. Scarecrow and Coil. That's from John McCormack as well. Kelly Rooster. Pierre Van Hoy Donkey.
You don't get a donkey on a farm. I'm telling you right now, you will not get a donkey on a farm.
Okay.
I've been a donkey farm, but it's not a farm because it's just donkeys in it.
Have you ever seen those adverts on during the day for the donkeys?
It's not good.
It's not good. But I need to take issue with it, right? Because it says the worst thing you can do to a donkey is not break its legs, but break its heart. I'm like, Well, no, it'd be worse if you broke its legs. Yeah. It would be ultimately worse if you broke a donkey's legs and breaking its heart. And it's just sad donkeys with flies on them and stuff. And they're like, give us £5 a month. The poor donkeys.
Why are we here?
Bertie Old MacDonald had a farm.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he had a chicken, E-I-E-I-O. With a and a heat up. Heat up. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O.
That's from Robbie George Barley, from John McLeod. Stevie Clark's famous speech, Baba Rangers, Baba Celtic. That's from Brian Stalker. You in Cameron.
You, that's a baby you
sheep,
yes.
That's from Gregor Tennant and Steve C. I don't even know how to say this one. Real.
Riai Riaio Hatate.
Riai Riaio Hatate.
What's Riai Riaio?
Riai Riaio.
And on that farm he had a horse, E-I-E-I-O, with a
nay nay
and a everywhere a
nay
everywhere a Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O.
Scott Oorfield. That's from Twitch.
Scott Oorfield.
Oorfield. Right. That's not that's bad. Good. Quite like that. Dung Fernland.
Yes. That's the winner. Dung.
From Hoofhearted. Bob Malcolm Bine Harvester from Crikey G. That's not bad. Kirk Broadfoot and Mouth Disease. From Sam Miller. Farm Broth. From the Tartan Cyclist. Borna Baharasic from Callum Sinclair. Shoot Cattle Well from Craig B. Alex Plowry from Mickle. Bobby Midden from Hey RFC. I've got a brand new combine harvester and I'll give you the Chaduri. There was also another one, and I think it was, I've got a brand new combine harvester and I'll give you the Kisung Yung, which was quite good. That's from Johnny Mack. Stephen Wheatacre from Alex Wilson. Kemar Hoof from Snus Hiddink. David Clarkson's farm,
E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he had a pig.
Doesn't work that.
It's a farm.
It's not a McDonald's.
Paul Gascoink. Cock-a-doodle-doo-ree from Jamie. Motherwellies from Tony Malone. Pigsty Ferry from Simon. And Ali Muck Oist from Jamie Brenham. Who have we got the winner of the day?
I quite like the Baba Rangers, Baba Celtic.
Yeah, that was good. We'll give that. That's Brian Stalker. Well done to you. You've won this week. There's some amazing shows in there. Well done. And for next week's podcast, we want to hear your suggestions for a Scottish football or Valentine's Day. Examples include Love Street.
We should have done that for the day.
Yeah, but he's all over the place. He's not caring. He's checked out weeks ago. Seal with a loving Chris Doolin. Jesus. Joe Loveheart. Airdrie 3, Dunfermline 4, Court Flowers. Alexandro Bernabe XOXO.
Bernabe,
yep. Scottish premature ejaculation. And of course, Randy Halliday. Keep your eyes on our Twitter page at Big Football Scott for the post, and we'll put up your suggestions next week on the show as well. So there we are. We're rapidly reaching the end for producer, for intern Callum, I should say.
Intern Callum's days as producer of the show are coming.
Actually, just got a few minutes left.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, I know, exactly. We can get somebody decent in.
Yes!
Exactly.
Somebody was talking about bringing a Falkirk fan in.
Oh, God. Well, that's not happening. Absolutely not. Before we do go, though, we have to talk about what's happening in America at the moment. And I don't mean the Super Bowl. I mean the fact that we're being invaded.
Oh, UFOs.
The UFOs. So, four mysterious objects have been shot down over America.
Yeah.
No one knows what they are.
Correct.
But you and Cameron, give us the answers. What's happening?
Well, I mean, I've said regularly over the years that I'm a believer. And I believe that UFOs exist. I believe that aliens exist. And I think they've been visiting our planet for many, many years. Many centuries. I actually think that we're an experiment. I think that the aliens are keeping an eye on us. and I think they're coming back right now to see what's going on, and the Americans are shooting them down, and we could be having an Independence Day-like moment in our life very, very soon. My sister has.
Oh, that's a sort of remix of the X-Files.
I do believe in UFOs, but to be serious, I do think that we are definitely not the only intelligent life in the universe. And we are getting visited by alien life forms. Now, I'm not suggesting for a second that Americans are shooting down spaceships, so I'm not sure that's what's happening here. But it is rather interesting that they haven't yet said what it is or what they think it is. Their official quote is this: we're keeping an open mind. Hold on a minute, you're shooting down something, you do not know what you're shooting down. Why are you shooting it down? Why are you actually going out there with your F-18s and shooting down objects you don't know what they are? Strange. But there's four, and I think that the time has come. As Mulder and Scully said, the truth is out there. Let me put this question to you.
At Tyne Castle.
No, it's not the floodlights at Tyne Castle, you fanny.
Do you know what you'd say to the alien if he walked into the studio just now?
Who do you think you're with your Primark jumper on?
And you know how you would maybe try and scare him?
Mad Dog's 50 kilos.
I guess your initial reaction would be something along these lines.
Just remarkable.
You know what Joe Biden said to his military when they spotted something in the sky?
That's going to bring him down.
Yeah. And do you know what the aliens said when they were like, oh no, stop shooting us?
Just stop it. Do you think at some point in our sleep we've been probed? There will be a pumping tomorrow.
And that's just about it from the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And that is it. Thank you as always, Ewan Cameron.
Thank you, mate.
And a huge thank you to you for listening, as always. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on whichever podcast provider you use so you don't miss a podcast, and keep an eye on our socials for a Scotch football or Valentine's Day. And we'll be back next week at the usual time with another brand new episode of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. And we'll have a brand new producer as well. Intern Callum, it's been a pleasure. Godspeed.
God bless.
God bless.
Go and join your friends in the sky.
And don't get shot down by the US military and then probed by Ewan Cameron and his 50 kilo dog. Bye bye.
I thought Euro Disney was pish.